From Colorado Public Radio, I'm Ryan Warner, and this is Colorado Matters. Last week, we reported that Colorado's suicide rate is the highest in 20 years. The economy and a lack of mental health services are partly to blame, experts say. Well, there's a new resource that could help bring the suicide rate down, at least in Metro Denver. It's a new round-the-clock crisis hotline available for free. There's broad agreement this crisis line could help people, but as Colorado Public Radio's health reporter Eric Whitney explains, that's only if it survives.
If anybody is sure to benefit from a new crisis hotline in Metro Denver, it's going to be someone facing a situation like Kathy Williams did. She's a mother of five in Denver who struggled with depression. A few years ago, she had a crisis, and that's when she learned it's pretty common for people in mental health crisis to be met by the local police.
They were really rough and stuff, and they handcuffed me, and they took me down to Denver General, and I just wanted somebody to talk to at that point, and that's not what I got.
What Williams got was a response from cops who probably wanted to help, but didn't have any training in handling someone with a serious mental health issue. Their protocol in situations like Williams's is to take the person in crisis to an emergency room. Williams says that's not really comforting after one experience that she had at a Metro ER.
And they told me to wait a minute, and then here comes guys in straitjackets. Yeah, so it makes you scared to get treatment.
Lots of people in Metro Denver could tell stories about winding up in the emergency room due to mental illness. It's estimated that Metro Denver ERs see more than 40,000 people a year for behavioral health reasons. Many arrive in a police car. About half could probably be dealt with more effectively and more cheaply elsewhere.
Metro Crisis Services, this is Chris.
Someplace like Metro Crisis Services, or MCS. It's a brand new nonprofit that just launched the crisis hotline.
There hasn't been until now a place that people can call reliably 24 hours and get help.
Dan Ward is in charge of the hotline. He says Metro Denver Mental Health Centers can only help about 70,000 people. But Ward says there's close to another 200,000 people in the city with serious mental health or addiction problems and no real source of help. A lot of mentally ill people struggle to keep jobs. That means they're less likely to have health insurance and can't afford counseling or other help. And most don't qualify for Medicaid either, even if they're poor and unemployed. So a crisis hotline stands to benefit a lot of people, Dan Ward says. Hotline staff can counsel them over the phone or point them to face-to-face help where it's available.
We don't care where somebody lives or whether they have insurance or how old they are or what their problem is. We are staffed with extremely well-trained people who understand the variety of issues that people are confronted with every day in this community. And they also understand the variety of services that might be available to help them. So what we do is we try to, in effect, triage people.
Triage service means people get appropriate economical care instead of costly visits to the emergency room or jail. But exact cost savings are pretty hard to estimate accurately. You can get a feel, though, for the hotline's potential impact by considering a couple of numbers. First, MCS expects the hotline to get about 100,000 calls a year. Of those who call, MCS figures only about 20% will have health insurance. That doesn't matter for the hotline, which doesn't bill insurance, but it does matter to hospitals. That's because hospitals should see a significant drop in the number of uninsured mental health patients in their emergency rooms if the hotline works. And that means they won't have to give away so much health care and they'll lose less money. At least that's the pitch to hospitals. But so far, they've largely chosen not to fund the hotline's startup year.
But I don't know that it's a conscious choice never to support it.
That's Gail Finley, a vice president at the Colorado Hospital Association, who also sits on MCS's board. Finley says hospitals have largely held back because they had questions about MCS's business plan and how much hospitals were being asked to do.
They're just trying to make sure if they're going to invest in it that it has a viable future and that they know what their level of contribution will be and what it will fund and where it will get us in moving this forward.
Without hospital support, backers of the crisis line have had to look elsewhere.
So I just want to thank all of you for the contribution you're making today. You're making our community a much better place. Thank you very much. It's great to be here.
Last year, Colorado's biggest liquor distributor, Republic National in Littleton, had a big check ceremony and gave MCS $20,000. But otherwise, Denver's business community hasn't been a major contributor. The organizers raised about half of what they need from local and national health foundations.
The dollars have to come from somewhere. So either it's going to take governments or hospitals or other donors.
That's Jean Rohner, who runs Mental Health America of Colorado, the nonprofit that 4 years ago launched the effort to set up the crisis hotline. 4 years ago, of course, was before the recession hit. Now the $350,000 Rohner thought she could get from Metro Denver governments is pretty unlikely until there's a rebound in tax revenue.
I think the counties and the cities and so on, I think when the economy improves, I think we will see more support from them. I think when they're cutting dollars from their budgets, it's a hard time to be asking for new dollars.
It's a hard time to ask, but local governments, like hospitals, stand to save big. That's because local governments pay for police and jails. Arapahoe County, for instance, says it costs more than twice the average inmate cost to house a mentally ill inmate. And it's estimated that 1 in 5 inmates in local jails has a serious mental health problem. So again, a crisis hotline that can divert some of the mentally ill away from jails could save local governments some real money.
I think it has the potential to have several impacts.
Dr. Michael Allen is the head of research at the Colorado Depression Center. He says that even though police, jails, and hospitals all stand to benefit from the new crisis hotline, it's really not a surprise that funding it collectively has been difficult.
You know, I was skeptical about whether this could be done. The history of cooperation among Denver Metro counties has not been all smooth sailing. So I wondered, you know, whether a coalition could be put together, even as much sense as it makes.
There's still a big coalition working to keep the crisis hotline up and running. It includes representatives from hospitals, law enforcement, and local governments. But to date, the coalition of hotline funders is a much smaller group. About half the support at this point is coming from local and national health foundations. And the hotline was only able to open because it got a $750,000 federal stimulus grant, which means they now have enough money to operate for a year. Backers say they're confident they'll get more local contributions once they have some actual data documenting how much hospitals, police, and others are saving. They even have plans to expand and open a crisis drop-in center where people can get help. Denver's three big hospital corporations say they're evaluating whether to fund that. Eric Whitney, Colorado Public Radio News.
You'll find information about Metro Denver's new 24-hour crisis hotline, including the phone number, at our website, cpr.org.